Truly Urban Radio Show. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show. It is Tuesday, August 21st, 2012 here, and a very busy news day. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. And I want to start off, first of all, by wishing happy birthday to the Voyager 2. 35 years ago, it was launched. It's now 9 billion-plus miles away from planet Earth, heading out into interstellar space. It's got the little record on the side, you know, and, you know, the aliens are probably going to send more Chuck Berry. And it does prove that the technology does exist to build things that last a very, very long time. And space is a hostile environment, cosmic rays and solar wind and micrometeors and all that kind of stuff that's going on there. So if people wanted to build something that would last longer than the warranty period, it is technologically possible to do here. Another anniversary not quite so up and bubbly. It's the 20th anniversary of the final assault by the FBI on the home of Randy Weaver at Ruby Ridge, and this has gone down to be one of, sadly, far too many black marks in the history of the United States government. And basically, to give you the short story here, the FBI was trying to infiltrate one of the numerous groups that they like to infiltrate, and so the ATF used an undercover informant to entrap Weaver into selling them two shotguns that were shorter than the legal minimum length, because sawed-off shotguns are considered illegal. And so this ATF informant, who had sort of worked his way into the trust and friendship of Randy Weaver, said, "I want to buy a shotgun from you." And he just put his finger on the barrel, said, "Can you cut it off to about here?" And Randy Weaver said, "Sure, why not?" Didn't get out the tape measure. Didn't think he should be double-checking this thing, because remember, history has shown everybody who ever got double-crossed, betrayed, or used had it done to them by somebody they thought they could trust. And there's a lot of FBI informants out there. We just found out the other week the guy who was getting the guns and militarizing the Black Panthers was an FBI informant. He was setting them up to be the villains to scare the American people with. So anyway, they had Randy Weaver on the weapons charge, and they tried to use it to blackmail him into informing on other people around him who were basically getting unhappy with how the government was behaving even back then. So it supposedly went to trial. The summons for Randy Weaver somehow got lost bureaucratically, and it ended up with 400 armed federal agents laying siege to the Weaver's Mountain cabin. They shot Randy Weaver's dog, just to prove they could do it, I guess. Then they shot his son, and then they shot Randy Weaver's wife. And Randy Weaver's wife was just standing there holding a baby in her arms, and they shot her right in the head. Now, the thing went to trial in 1993, and everybody was trying to say, oh, they were bad. They should have just done what the government told them to do, because that's what life in America is like. And basically, they were acquitted of all charges. The court said, this is obviously entrapment. And you're not allowed to do that. The only charge Weaver was found guilty on was failing to appear in court. And ultimately, the Justice Department basically wound up, you know, paying $3.1 million in civil damages to the Weavers as long as the Weavers would agree that the government admitted there was no wrongdoing on the part of the government. And that's basically how the way it works. Whether it's Ruby Ridge or that church down in Waco, Texas, the government will screw up. They'll use your tax dollars to buy their way out of the mess and just say, "Everybody, you can't say we did something wrong or the terrorists will win." All right, we're going to take a break for commercials. Back with more news here after these words from our sponsors. 800-313-9443. The lovely Miss Crystal will be answering your calls.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze-Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including turtle tough shelters.
We have added two 24-foot turtle toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost, and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Call me U.S. Steel, 21st Century Fox soundbite. Who gives a damn what's true or false, long as it leans to the right. Add a token liberal, pretend I'm fair, a bimbo for some sex appeal. I'm busy oiling up the corporation wheel, and they call me.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. So we're talking about 20 years ago today, the final assault on Ruby Ridge. They shot Vicki Weaver while she was standing there holding a deadly assault baby. And who knows what toxic chemicals were in that diaper. So the FBI was justified in gunning her down in cold blood. And I mention that because apparently there was a shooting last week where two Louisiana deputies were killed, and they haven't actually caught anybody. So, of course, the authorities are now believing that some of these suspected gunmen from last week's shooting are members of the Sovereign Citizen Movement, a collective described by the FBI as domestic terrorists. In other words, from this day forward, any unsolved murders are going to be blamed on anybody who doesn't like the government and its economic and war policies. We're going to see that demonization really start to escalate. And that includes informants setting up their own militias and trying to get people to go out and blow up stuff, because that's what the FBI does. They create the crimes, then they threaten to arrest you unless you go out and do more dirty tricks for them. So, you know, the Sovereign Citizens Movement, the ADL hates them, and so they're okay in my book. All righty, let's see. Now, speaking of FBI and police spying and dirty tricks, you probably have been hearing back and forth about this New York Police Department spy program against all the Muslims, and they were infiltrating the mosques, and they were trying to get inside these groups, and they had these people that they probably the same thing they did with Randy Weaver. They concocted a crime and said, we're going to put you in jail unless you spy on these people, and went back and forth. It was all without warrants, was all unconstitutional. Lawsuit was brought and thrown out of court because it might damage national security. And we can't have that. But there's a little postscript to that whole situation. In all the spying and all the infiltrating and all the suborning and all the rest of that stuff that the New York Police Department was doing against the Muslim, they did not find a single lead regarding any kind of terroristic or even just simple criminal activity. It drew a big fat zero. All that tax money and manpower, nowhere, nothing, nada. They didn't find a thing at all. Which tells us they're looking in the wrong place. Now remember, right after 9/11, Carl Cameron on Fox News did a four-part series on the discovery of a massive Israeli spy operation here in the United States of America. They were tracking our phone calls through a company called Amdocs, Israeli-owned, does all the billing and bookkeeping for the phone company so they can do what's called traffic analysis. Who's calling who? They can build up lists of networks. You know, your 6 degrees of separation. And there was another company, Converse Infosys, which is the Israeli company hired by the U.S. to put automated phone eavesdropping equipment in the phone systems of America. And Israel was found to have a backdoor in there so that Israel could listen to any phone call in America. And they were apparently intercepting police communications and forwarding it along to Israeli drug dealers who were then able to evade raids and arrest. And Carl Cameron blew the whistle on this whole thing, and in the course of this program, had a quote from a U.S. government official regarding the dancing Israelis. Remember these Israelis supposedly working for Urban Moving Systems, which, by the way, shut down its doors September 12th, 2001, and the owner fled to Israel immediately. And these dancing Israelis were eventually outed as Mossad agents. So Carl Cameron was talking to a U.S. government official, anonymous, of course, and the official said, the U.S. government official said, evidence linking these Israelis to 9/11 is classified. I cannot tell you about evidence that has been gathered. It's classified information. So if you've got evidence linking Israelis to 9/11, what the heck are you doing wasting all your time going over and bothering the Muslims? It doesn't make any sense at all. What an incredible waste of taxpayer dollars and time, you know, to go looking over in the Muslim community when the only available evidence is pointing to Israel. I think it's time for the New York Police Department to have a complete change of all top management, starting with the police chief. What a complete moron this guy has to be to spend all these resources investigating the Muslims when the only actual hard evidence that exists about 9/11 links them to these Mossad agents who were cheering and dancing and high-fiving as the towers came down. Really good police work there, New York. You got obvious suspects over here, and you go looking over here. No wonder crime is out of control in this country. I guess the police are very stupid. There may be another explanation, of course. But I think at this point, at the very least, we can say the New York Police Department showed a complete lack of any brains at all to have evidence linking Israel to 9/11 and then spending all their time violating the constitutional rights of the Muslims. So the Muslims are feeling vindicated, and justly so. And I think we need to all direct a collective raspberry at the New York Police Department for sheer utter stupidity of having an actual hard suspect and then scurrying off and looking at something else. It's probably only exceeded by the FBI itself, which had evidence regarding those anthrax letters. The security system in the lab where the strain of anthrax found in the letters was stored showed Dr. Philip Zack walking in after he had lost his job at Fort Detrick. He walked into the lab and then walked back out, tried to erase the record, but the security system kept it. Did the FBI investigate Dr. Philip Zack for the anthrax letters? No, no, no. We're going to go after Stephen Hill, and we're going to go after Dr. Ayad Assad, and we're going to go after Bruce Ivins. And even though we found no evidence, you know, Bruce Ivins killed himself, so we'll just say he's the villain. I'm beginning to think that working for the government, you have to undergo a lobotomy before your first day on the job. Now, getting over to the situation in Syria, remember yesterday I was talking about how Benjamin Netanyahu is showing all the signs of in a panic to get his war with Iran going. We're almost seeing a similar degree of panic emerge from the Obama White House in terms of trying to find some way to escalate the situation in Syria, because the hired mercenary army is not succeeding. They're losing ground. Syrian planes are dropping leaflets and pamphlets all over Aleppo right now saying, if you will surrender, we'll take you to the border and let you go. Nobody gets shot. Nobody gets to spend any time in prison. Just stop fighting. Go home. That's it. That's the deal. And a lot of the mercenaries are probably going to accept that. And so now Obama is out there making all these threats, and it started yesterday with, don't you dare use chemical weapons. Well, Assad isn't using his chemical weapons because he knows that would open the door to a U.S. invasion. Because he saw how they used the non-existent chemical and nuclear weapons and biological weapons to justify a complete full-on invasion of Iraq. So today Obama has lowered the threshold. Now he says if Assad simply moves the chemical weapons, that's grounds for a U.S. no-fly zone and a full-on invasion. Tomorrow, Obama will be saying, if Assad starts throwing spit wads or uses pea shooters, that's grounds for a full-on invasion of Syria. And it's just more and more ultimatums, and they're getting sillier and sillier all the time. And the rest of the world is starting to say, look, this is completely ridiculous. The UN is saying it. Russia is still saying no unilateral intervention in Syria. And they've already said if the U.S. goes into Syria, Russia will not come in directly, but they will provide enough weapons and support to Syria to turn it into the new Vietnam and just grind down the country that way. Now, what I think is going on here, because we're seeing a dichotomy between who wants what war. And what I think is going on is Obama wants to avoid war with Iran, at least before the election, because that will drag on and everybody will say, oh, another big mistake, we can't vote for you. I think the reason Obama is all hot and bothered to attack Syria is because he believes he can slam dunk this thing and get Assad out by October. And then he can stand up there and be the war president and say, I beat Assad, vote for me in November. Not that I think he has to worry with the way the GOP is self-destructing. But I think that's why he's all hot and bothered to go into Syria and reluctant to obey Israel and go into Iran here. Meanwhile, over in the Sinai, we're seeing more and more indications that the population of the Sinai itself, with the new support of Egypt's President Morsi, is basically going along with this renewed resistance to Israeli control of the region, and that's got to be making Israel very upset. They're still out there screaming that Egypt violated the Camp David Accords by sending military into the Sinai. And, of course, what nobody is mentioning in the American corporate media is the Camp David Accords also committed Israel to end all settlements in the occupied territories, which Israel never did. They're still building them. And so it's typical of Israel's hypocrisy and the corporate media complicity that they're demanding Egypt comply with a treaty that Israel itself rendered null and void a long time ago. Now, a new wrinkle on these Pakistan drone strikes. We were talking about all the civilians who got killed in 48 hours of drone strikes. The United States has now adopted a tactic of doubling up on their drone strikes. They'll send in a drone strike, they'll commit a lot of mayhem, and then when the emergency workers and the neighbors come in to help the survivors, they send in a second drone strike. And what's really amazing is the U.S. condemned this kind of a double hit as an act of terror when other people were doing it, and now the U.S. itself is doing exactly the same thing. And you know you're killing civilians in that second strike. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and super male and femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA survival course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened. It chills right to the core. This talk of holy war.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Now, Jeff Goldberg came out with an interesting article, and we linked it to the front page of whatreallyhappened.com with some commentary. And the article is titled, An Obama Visit to Israel Could Stall Iran Attack. And basically, Jeff Goldberg is trying to sell Barack Obama on the idea of a visit to Israel to talk with Netanyahu about the eventual attack on Iran. But of course, Goldberg knows that's not going to be the result. A visit to Israel by Obama would be used by Netanyahu as proof that Obama has committed to a new war with Iran. Now, Netanyahu needs the U.S. to attack Iran or promise to attack Iran before the elections in Israel next month, or he's going to lose his job. And Obama needs to avoid a war with Iran or the promise to start a war in Iran until after November, or he will lose his jobs. So, rock, meet hard place. Now, an interesting story came out late yesterday in which Prime Minister Netanyahu is pressuring the spiritual leader of the Shah's party, Rabbi Obadiah Yosef, to support an Israeli attack on Iran. Now, the Shas party is Orthodox, and they're probably not very happy with the government of Israel right now, because the exemption from the draft for the Orthodox just recently expired. Now, what's going on here is Netanyahu's own Security Council comprises 8 members, and 4 are agreeable to an Israeli attack on Iran, and the other 4 are opposed to it. And so Netanyahu needs one of the opponents to change their mind. And one of the opponents happens to be a member of the Shah's party and listens to this rabbi for spiritual guidance on what to do. Now, I don't know what inducement Netanyahu is using on the rabbi. It may be to reinstate the drafting exemption. But it's very obvious Netanyahu does not have support from Israel's people, or even within his own government, for the attack on Iran. And he's hitting the panic button, going out to the Orthodox after removing their draft exemption. That's an act of desperation. And I interpret this story as telling me that Netanyahu has hit the panic button. He knows that the Likud party is probably going to lose the majority in next month's elections, and that means he will be out of a job. Now, Netanyahu may have a fallback position. He needs a war to try to cling to power. War with Iran would be good, but if Iran is not going to go along with that, it's not going to happen. Obama's not going to help him. Well, then we're going to go back and we're going to attack Lebanon again. And the rationale for that is that Israel attacked Lebanon in 2006. They didn't succeed in getting the Tani River. They did bomb a lot of companies competing with Israel's exports. They killed a lot of UN observers in the process. Now, since that invasion, Hezbollah has armed itself against a new invasion. So Israel's attitude is, you know, Hezbollah has become a military power since we invaded them to try and keep us from invading them again. So we need to invade them again. That's his thinking. And they're trying to sell it with yet another wrinkle of trying to tie all this together into a regional war, in that some of the hired mercenaries in Syria are brushing up against the Lebanese border, and that a conflict there could easily spill directly into Israel. So therefore, Israel, to protect its, you know, existence, may have to attack Lebanon and Syria. And they're just grasping at straws to try and sell this. And nobody's buying it in Israel. Nobody's buying it here in the United States of America. All right, going to talk about the economy just a little bit. A lot of interesting stuff is going on. When I turned on my little studio TV set to check the corporate media, CNN was running a banner headline, "Stocks poised to soar today." Well, they're not doing that. And so where did this story come from? Careful analysis? No. Just trying to flog the masses to go buy stocks this morning. And it did work briefly. There was an upsurge at the start of the day, and then all of a sudden it's sort of started heading back down, and it's in the red. And it's not a major loss. I don't think anybody's going to be upset about it, but it's an indicator that when the corporate media tells you to buy, it's probably a good time to sell. And maybe that's exactly what happened. After the LIBOR scandal and the admission that 25% of the people on Wall Street will admit to using fraud in what they're doing, probably those few private investors that are still playing in the market are realizing that when the corporate media is telling you to buy, that's when you start selling. When the plunge protection team and those high-speed computer traders shove the market up, that's a signal to sell and get your money right there. Maybe. Meanwhile, Jacob Rothschild, John Paulson, and George Soros are all betting that financial disaster is coming. They're all taking financial positions and hedges that basically say they are convinced that the system is getting ready to fall apart. And anybody with half a brain knows that it's true. It's that whole 11th marble thing again. Warren Buffett has cut $16 billion off of his U.S. municipal credit bet. He's reducing his exposure to the collapse of civil governments across the U.S. Another warning sign. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you struggling to reclaim your health? Let me share my story quick. My nightmare of chronic fatigue, PTSD, and autoimmune issues cost me everything. A bankruptcy, loss of home, even my wife walked out on me with no hope in sight. A miracle happened after hitting my lowest point. I discovered ion and RNA drops. It literally saved my life. I want to share my story with you and offer you a trial size mini bottle of RNA drops. Visit www.rnafreemini.com. Again, that's www.rnafreemini.com. It's time to take your power back now. You can also look for our free trial offer ad at republicbroadcasting.org, RNA drops.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Now, over there at Facebook, one of their first investors who was in at the beginning, Peter Thiel, I believe it's pronounced, invested $500,000 in Facebook back in 2004. As soon as the lockouts expired, he started dumping his shares of Facebook, almost $1 billion worth. And Facebook stock is heading down. And all those people who were trying to prop it up at the beginning, they are taking a bath. Now, again, I think because the United States government has invested so much in exploiting Facebook for its intelligence value, which I think is none because half of everybody on Facebook is lying about their profile and everything, I think the U.S. government's going to continue to prop it up because it's – if Facebook evaporates, then the domestic surveillance people have to start all over with promoting and pitching another social network that everybody will be drawn to. So I think we're probably going to see some covert buying of Facebook stock to keep them alive a little bit longer. Meanwhile, over at Best Buy, their second quarter profits dropped by 90%. They missed their profit estimates by a huge margin. They've had to withdraw their earnings guidance, and all I can say after the hard time they gave me is good. We need to return to the law and the principle of evolution. If you have a bad product or a bad way of doing business, you should go out of business and make way for somebody with a little more smarts to come in and make a better product or provide better customer service. That's the way capitalism is supposed to work. Now, fascism is that the government will prop up bad corporations as long as they keep writing those campaign donation checks. And a good example of that is General Motors. We were talking about that yesterday, where GM was in trouble along with the other American automakers because the autos that they have been manufacturing are not the equal of what we see made in Japan or made in Germany. And so the automakers are suffering. They get all these bailouts. The Treasury Department is already saying the taxpayer is taking a hit in the teeth trying to prop up General Motors. And so what do they do? Now we find out they're having to recall all of these SUVs because they forgot to put a drainage hole in the bottom of the door units. If you prop up bad companies, you will have bad products. It is time to allow the law of evolution to return to America's corporate culture. If you're a success, enjoy the profits. If you are not a success, go away, make room for somebody else to come along and do a better job. As under our current system, the United States cannot progress, it cannot grow, it cannot evolve. We are locked into the present system through political cronyism. That, too, of course, is a symptom of a fascist economic state. Meanwhile, over here on this side of the world, Belize is closer to a default. They're not going to be able to make a $23 million bond payment by next week, which is when it's due. And they're probably going to formally default on their total debt of $544 million. So all of these countries that are borrowing from the private central banks, they are in trouble. Now remember, when the Soviet Union collapsed, Putin came in, he kicked out the money junkies, and Russia's doing really well. They're buying up gold. They know what's going to happen. And they want to be positioned in case gold is brought back as the currency standard. I don't think it should be, because there are too many people who can accumulate and monopolize gold, like China and Russia are now doing here. I think there's a better way to do that. But we do need a value-based government-issued currency. We absolutely do. That's the only way out of this mess. Now, the Germans are out there saying that the Greece euro exit, it's now a foregone conclusion. Greece is going to have to leave the euro and devalue their currency in order to have a chance of getting life back to normal in their country. And the diplomats are meeting, you know, talking about how they're going to deal with the spiraling debts. Well, the spiraling debts exist only because of compound interest, the expectation of payment of money that never existed to begin with. So we're getting all these statements from Germany and from the Eurozone saying it's not going to be any kind of a big problem. We can manage this. Okay, well, I'm sorry. But if they couldn't manage the economy when things were doing really well, they certainly cannot hope to manage things now that it's all falling apart. That's like the captain of the Hindenburg after the tail end is on fire and saying, oh, I can handle this. I can take care of this. Well, you know, I got it back down on the ground, didn't I? So this is what happens when you allow your country to become enslaved to the private central bankers. And the truth is, what they don't want you to think about, why the public school stopped teaching about King George III's Currency Act when the Federal Reserve was created. No sovereign nation on earth has to borrow a single penny from anyone. There is nothing that stops a government from printing up debt-free money and spending it into circulation. Of course, if you try and do that, the Federal Reserve will have the U.S. come in, say that you're a terrorist, and bomb you, and then impose a private central bank on the people. I mean, look how silly this system is. The governments are borrowing money from banks, and the banks just create it out of nothing. zap it into existence, and then charge interest on it. Why doesn't our government create its own money like it did originally? Instead of borrowing make-believe money from a private central bank on which they have to pay interest. There's no reason for it other than it enriches the bankers. And I still maintain that in order to transfer the money creation authority away from the federal government and into the hands of a private central bank, because that money creation authority is defined by the United States Constitution, it should have taken a constitutional amendment to change that instead of this Federal Reserve Act that was voted through over the Christmas break and then quickly signed by Woodrow Wilson. I hold that because a constitutional amendment was not involved, the Federal Reserve is unconstitutional and it is illegal. And all the debt that we owe to the private central bankers is gone. Trade war with China is escalating over renewable energy, and the U.S. is using it as more excuse to bash China and try and point the fingers at China for our economic difficulties. The U.S. government is going to blame everybody on the planet. They'll blame Bigfoot for the economic woes because they're incapable of taking responsibility for their actions and the effects that those actions have. Now, speaking of taking responsibility and especially speaking of raising on a busted flush, the Republicans are in the act of self-immolation right now. And I'm not talking about the way they have been sidelining Ron Paul and alienating Ron Paul's supporters, and they're still in court trying to say, we don't care if he played by the rules. We want to change the rules and kick out the Ron Paul delegates. And, you know, first of all, we had the Representative Kevin Yoder was skinny dipping in the Sea of Galilee. That was a little bit of an embarrassment. And then you had Doug Priest, the Ohio GOP election official, basically saying we shouldn't bother, you know, making sure the voting is convenient in the urban areas away from the major city centers. In other words, the low-income minority locations. He's basically saying we don't need to bother with them. They're going to vote for the other party anyway. And, of course, we have the really big one, the meltdown that started when Todd Akin came out with perhaps one of the most ludicrous statements any politician has ever made in history, where he said, basically, if a woman is raped, the female body has natural ways that will keep it from getting pregnant. Now, Akin is on board with this conservative party platform where all abortion should be banned. They're talking about a constitutional amendment. I know they'll never get the necessary three-quarter states for that. But it's a way, again, of getting you all arguing about abortion so that you're not paying attention to the economy and the wars. It's another one of these contrived distractions. But Akin is out there saying if a woman is raped, her body naturally will reject a pregnancy. So we don't need to make an exemption in the case of rape in abortion laws. And it provoked a huge response because it's a ridiculous statement on the face of it. Before the invention of religion and churches, technically all sex was rape. Now, raising on a busted flush, instead of backing off and saying, we were wrong, we're sorry, we'll modify our position, apparently an official from Missouri's Republican Party defended Todd Akin by basically saying, God chooses to bless women with pregnancies from rape. In other words, girls, if you get raped and you get pregnant, it's a blessing from God and you shouldn't argue with that. And just to cap it off one more time, Mike Huckabee decided to wade in and say we shouldn't allow abortion in the case of rape because sometimes good people are conceived by rape. You know, think of all that potential out there. These children that are created through rape, they might go on to do great things that would benefit the world. Okay? Well, what of all these young people, the already born, that the Republicans are sending to their deaths in these wars? What might they have accomplished if allowed to live? This incredible hypocrisy. Everybody's screaming about the sanctity of life of the preborn. And yet they're glad to send off hundreds of thousands of the already born to violent and horrible death in these wars. Obama just won his second term. The Republican Party is self-destructing right before our very eyes. I just don't understand people who scream of the sanctity of life with regard to the unborn while eagerly seeking the deaths of the already born in these wars. It makes no sense at all. I'm not going to take all this talk about sanctity of life seriously from the GOP leadership until they get up there and say, we've got to end these wars because these wars are killing young people. And who knows what these young people might have accomplished had they lived. Even Israel's media is starting to get upset with all this politicking. They're basically saying Netanyahu is putting his hand in the American ballot boxes with all of this tinkering with the election and all of this fundraising for Mitt Romney when he was over there in Tel Aviv, which, by the way, it's a violation of U.S. law. All of this fundraising Mitt Romney did outside the United States of America for non-U.S. citizens, it is a felony violation of U.S. law, and the American corporate media still won't talk about it. Now, interestingly enough, the GOP leadership getting ready for next week's convention in Tampa has come out with a statement basically saying that the platform language that is going to be approved for next week's Republican National Convention doesn't fully represent that of Mitt Romney. In other words, the GOP leadership is saying they don't really agree with him on all of issues. Then why has the GOP been shoving Mitt Romney down our throats by blocking Ron Paul all this time? The GOP is admitting Mitt Romney doesn't really represent what they claim to be their core platform issues. But by golly, Wall Street wants Mitt Romney, and thus it shall be so, apparently. Now, a little inside information. Everybody was wondering why Mitt Romney nominated Paul Ryan to be his vice president. I personally think Mitt Romney thought the name Paul as his VP might snooker the Ron Paul supporters and they would support him. Not going to work. But apparently it's been leaked out that the Koch brothers, you know, offered $100 million in additional campaign funding if Paul Ryan received the vice presidential nomination. So it's all about the money. We're getting more and more word from Ron Paul's delegates that they will not under any circumstances back Mitt Romney, even if Ron Paul is the only one on the ballot, which the GOP leadership is trying to ensure with all these legal games, legal maneuvers with the delegates. They're basically going to say, we're not going to vote. The Republican National Committee is concerned that Ron Paul's supporters, at least six states, will try and disrupt the convention. Well, isn't the convention supposed to be where these discussions take place? Not today. To the party leadership, the convention is just where you showcase the candidate. It's his coming out party. It's Mitt Romney's cotillion, and it's all stage managed and scripted. The GOP has destroyed itself. The GOP leadership, in their eagerness to foist Wall Street's anointed candidate on us all, has alienated a significant portion of Republican voters. If Ron Paul's not on the ballot, I'm not voting in November. And according to the poll we ran here at whatreallyhappened.com, about 60% of the respondents who are Republican voters said they're not going to bother to vote. We're hearing that from other sources as well, that voter turnout in November is expected to be very, very low, because nobody likes any of the two offered approved candidates. Now, Fox News is admitting that without Ron Paul's supporters, Mitt Romney cannot win. So the GOP has handed Obama his second term and destroyed its own credibility with Republican voters into the bargain. Now, things are so desperate among the Republican leadership, the only option left for them next week is to try and stage their own riot, trigger some kind of a disturbance, and then blame it all on Ron Paul's campaign, and then demonize Ron Paul and his supporters so much that Ron Paul's supporters will be embarrassed to go on supporting him, and they'll flock back to the GOP and support Mitt Romney. I don't think it's going to work. But desperate people take desperate chances, and the GOP has to be realizing they have well and truly hoisted with their own petard at this point. And this Aiken gaffe, and then attempting to try and resell it and re-spin it and massage it and spin doctor it. This thing was dead on arrival. They shouldn't be trying to revive it. And for Huckabee to come out with this utter nonsense that we cannot allow abortion in the case of rape because that unborn child might be something wonderful stands in stark contrast to the willingness of the Republican Party to throw our young people to their deaths against Israel's enemies. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear. Live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems. Then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendovite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendovite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened? What really?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Now, when the founding fathers of our nation created the First Amendment to the right to freedom of expression, it was specifically intended to protect speech critical of the government itself. The First Amendment is not about naked ladies dancing on poles. It's not about canvases with bovine excrement glued to them. It's not about any of that stuff, although obviously we prefer if it does extend to that. But the purpose of the First Amendment was to allow the newspapers of the time the freedom to criticize what the government was doing in order to keep the public fully informed as to what was going on. Remember, Thomas Jefferson said the highest duty of any American citizen is to keep themselves fully informed so they can make good decisions. We have seen the corporate media basically sell itself to various political, financial, corporate interests. We know that at least 25 years ago, the United States Senate was well aware that Israel was bribing the prostitutes and the corporate media to report the news to favor Israel. We know that basically what we get from the corporate media these days is little more than press releases handed out by corporations and the government itself. But for those few honest journalists that are still out there in the corporate media environment, the government is now trying to come down on them to basically end First Amendment protections, to end the media's ability and willingness to report on government wrongdoing, which is why we have the First Amendment, with more and more of these lawsuits citing national security as the reason to either block, censor, punish the authors, or at least mandate pre-publication approval. Now, the government already has that in certain narrow contexts. You cannot write about codes and encryption in the United States of America and publish without getting prior government approval, which is very rare in coming, to say the least. And now they're trying to extend it to just ordinary news. The government is basically trying to establish the principle that reporting on government corruption threatens our national security. In a roundabout way, it actually does, because when a government gets corrupt enough, usually there's going to be a backlash from the public, from the taxpayers. And that is, of course, seen as a threat to the national security. It isn't. It's a threat to the government and to the corrupt, but not to the nation as a whole. Corrupted governments are destroyed or collapse throughout history. The nation in which that government existed went on just fine, very often much better thereafter. But it's a red warning sign that the government is trying to crack down on what's left of the corporate media that is trying to do their job honestly, like that one Fox affiliate that's running that reality check show. And they're talking about some really important things out there, and the government wants to shut them. You're a threat to the national security. You know, if you talk about how we're in bed with the vaccine makers, the terrorists are going to win. We're going to take a break for station identification, come back with an example of such government corruption. 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
Are you a